Dealing with Difficult Passages. Commentary for the June 20th, 2020 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Many years ago, Daniel G. Taylor developed an interactive website that listed 492 contradictions in the Bible. Although that website is no longer extant, the first 16 examples may be seen in the photo accompanying this commentary. You can find that photo at our website, www.visitstillwaters.com. His site became popular with atheists and agnostics seeking justification for their disdain for Christianity. Over the years, several Christian apologists set about debunking the contradictions, some with more success than others, depending upon their own view of the Bible. For all Christians do not view Scripture similarly. In fact, the Christian view of Scripture has wide latitude, as evidenced by the many denominations that hold disparate views and yet claim that their truth is distinctive enough to set them above all the others. This is just as one might expect, for what would be the point of a separate denomination that believed the same as another? Unwittingly and ironically, Christianity may have provided the best evidence for the intrinsic contradictions of the faith, for each denomination has apologists who readily point out examples of why the others are not dogmatically truthful, while extolling their own inspired insight revealed by God to a founder or founders who claim such insight. If every apologist is right, then every denomination is wrong. If every denomination is right, then every apologist is wrong. This leaves room for the possibility that some may be right. But every apologist is adamant that is not the case for any denomination save their own. Christianity may therefore lack the ability to model truth, but instead models a perception of the truth. That perception then, rather than the truth itself, is what is often claimed to be God-breathed. Again, ironically, the Protestant Reformation was a rebellion against the idea of the Roman Catholic Church dictating faith to the laity and dominating the Christian narrative. To be sure, the seeds of that rebellion were planted when Rome not only claimed to be the sole arbiter of dogmatic perfection, but also appealed to the power of the state to enforce matters of faith, going so far as to declare dissension a capital crime. But these many seedlings that sprouted from Reformation soil may have fallen too close to the tree that spawned them. For they in turn have made similar claims on faith and conscience, and perhaps would, given an amenable civil government, also enforce their dogma, maybe even to the point of death. As Seventh-day Adventists, we often see ourselves as victims of such a possibility, and above the rest morally. Yet with our fundamental beliefs and decrees issued by executive committees and annual councils, are we really so far from all of that? Is it possible that there could be more of Rome in us than there is of us in Rome? When we realize the extent of the widespread dissension between the various Christian communions, perhaps we can realize also that the greater contradictions are not so much in the Bible as in the people who profess to believe in it. According to John, Jesus said, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." John 17, verses 22 through 23. If unity is proof that God sent us Jesus, what does our disunity prove? Of course, our denomination, like many others, deflects that discussion by continually calling for unity, that is, in reality, uniformity, that denies diversity. That denial is not just in a doctrinal sense, but in a social sense as well. Women and minorities are denied parity within the Adventist Church. Admittedly, this is slightly less of an issue in parishes associated with large Adventist communities surrounding our colleges and health care facilities, but not much less. It denies any claim to honest diversity we may advance, notwithstanding any studies that show otherwise, such as a recent Pew study. Some churches still deny the right of women to be ordained pastors. White churches and black churches alike will refuse to accept pastors of one another's ethnicity to lead their parish. Perhaps most egregiously, in 1944, the Seventh-day Adventist Church set up Jim Crow, separate but equal, black regional conferences, rather than allow this minority the equality they so rightly deserved. Those regional conferences continue to exist today because of the ongoing discrimination. It seems strange that those who would fret about contradictions in the Bible would be living out such contradictions as praxis, supposedly based upon that tome. If we could admit to those scriptural contradictions and still find a uniform message, even though they are clearly there, then perhaps we could find a hermeneutic supportive of the contradictions all too apparent in our ecclesiology. If we cannot, then we are modeling something we profess not to believe, that there are no contradictions inherent to Christianity. We might ask if contradictions are so intrinsic to how we live our lives and practice our faith, why is it so important to deny that they exist in Scripture? Most denominations apparently believe in a future perfect state of being in relation to a transformation to come at the parousia. When the Bible speaks often of that, much of the Bible, especially the Old Testament, speaks of life here on earth, after a fall from Edenic grace and before the return of Christ. Why then would we expect that time to be free of imperfections and contradictions? If we look at our own lives as we have struggled with the demands of life and tried to grow in Christ, have we not at times done or said things that were contrary to what we say we believe? Some might dare to claim perfection of life, but John said otherwise when he wrote, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." 1 John 1:8. What is the solution then? Should we simply admit that all we desire is imperfect, contradictory, and selfishly sinful? The Bible tells us that repentance is the way forward in Acts 2:38. How then shall we repent if we believe that we have the truth, everyone else is wrong, and we are thankful we are not like them? Have we imputed perfection to the Bible simply so we can impute it to ourselves? Some might claim the Bible is perfect and without contradictions because it is the Word of God. But the Word of God can even come from an ass or be fulfilled by sinners. He is not bound by our perceptions and conventions. Why then would His Word then be bound by them? How could omniscience and omnipresence, incapable of being chained by infinity, ever be harnessed by our intellect, limited as it is? We approach God with that intellect as though we were unfolding the moves in a chess game, with rules completely within our ken, and make move and countermove, believing that the outcome is predictable if we make the right moves. Then the chessboard dissolves into a deck of cards. But no problem, we know the rules for the game at hand, and after some adjustment, we deal the deck with the same assumption that if we make the right plays, the outcome is predictable. But once again, the cards also dissolve to be replaced by Chinese checkers. Again, we adjust, and following the rules, we expect a certain outcome. Partway through the game, it also dissolves into nothingness, and God says, "Your move." You respond, "How can I move when I have nothing to move?" And God says, "Exactly." Maybe it is time to set aside our belief that we are able to overcome by following the rules. That belief requires us to also believe that the Bible will give us a perfect foundation for those rules. Rules that, like Habakkuk, we may even try to get God to conform to. But in the end, maybe we are best off to simply allow God to be God and the Bible to be the Bible without defending either one. We cannot draw a picture of God or bind him to rules as we understand them. And why would we want to? Such a God would be so limited that he would not be God at all, but simply a projection of us, tainted with our own desires and peeves. If we can come to the point of allowing God to simply be God, as he himself defines that, perhaps we can also allow the Bible to simply be the Bible, and receive it as it is, contradictions and all, to see what it says to us, not as a denomination, but as individuals. We may find surprises we did not know were there. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find the footnotes and supporting documentation at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com.